Hey, you, my entrepreneurial friend. Of 10 years of running my coaching business, I am going to finally teach business. And of course, I'm going to teach business with human design. Because the thing that I've discovered over the last decade is that the way everyone else taught me to run a business didn't freaking work for me. So over this last decade, to create a multiple seven-figure business, I've broken all the rules. I have done everything my way. I have looked experts in the face and downright said no, all to create something I love with greater ease and flow that literally is changing the world. And the best part is it doesn't feel like work at all. It feels like I get to hang out with my best friends and I am having a huge impact on the planet at the same time. So if you own a business that you want to finally maybe start, grow, or even scale, then come and join me on the 9th of May to discover how your human design can create the most beautiful, authentic success for you. For all the details, follow the link in the show notes. I would like to begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today, the Arakwell people of the Bundjalung Nation, and pay my respects to the elders past, present, and emerging. Are you ready to win at the game of life? Well, throw out that rule book and get down to the business of being the best and most authentic version of you. Welcome to the Human Design Podcast. We're changing the rules around success, abundance, purpose, love, and life, where we're creating a planet where everyone can thrive in a world that loves and supports each other. I'm your host, Emma Dunwoody, a qualified master coach, human design expert, podcaster, and entrepreneur that is living the life of my dreams, breaking all the rules while doing it, making a huge impact, and living my design and manifesting miracles on the daily. Join me as I break down and simplify everything you need to live in alignment with your human design, teach you how to recondition your unconscious mind for greatness, and to take back your power so you can manifest your heaven on earth and serve the rest of the planet at the same time. It's time to give up the fear and step into your highest potential, to reach for the stars, to know and live your greatness. It's what you deserve, and it's what the planet really needs from you. So buckle up and enjoy the ride.
Lagrasso. Yep. Okay.
Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. In today's episode, I'm going to be talking with a fascinating human being who, when I was actually reading her bio, I'm like, how are you not a manifesting generator? Like, what? You are a projector? Oh, my goodness. But we're going to unpack all of that. So, Lauren Lagrasso, welcome to the podcast.
Emma, thank you so much for having me here. I also feel I was misassigned as a projector. I have manifesting generator envy because whenever I hear the description of that, it feels real and true.
Yeah. And you know, it's really crazy. When I was looking at your chart before I jumped on here, I looked at it this morning and then just before. And for everyone listening along, Lauren is a 1-3 splenic projector cross of the Sphinx. And I was like, God, it's another 1-3. And so many 1-3s are in my world right now. I actually just got off a call with another 1-3 splenic projector, like crazy. And I think the thing that's so, I think a lot of the line 3 projectors are kind of like, I've got MG envy, but it's your line 3. Like, you're here to try a bunch of stuff, have a lot of different experiences, like, you know, enjoy that stuff. Beautiful.
Thank you. I will. And I found a way to like weave it all into one expertise, kind of. It's like self-expression and audio. But yeah, whenever I hear about manifesting generators are supposed to try all these different things, I'm like, why can't that be my design?
Yeah, well, it is. The line 3 does. So yeah, you can have it.
Thank you.
Now, I do want to sort of dive into your healing journey because I absolutely geek out on human design, obviously, but you know, I'm just going to be able to sort of pick out all these beautiful little nuggets from your chart as we talk about it. And maybe this is actually leading you to the beginning of it. But before we get to all of that, the thing I love to start with my guests is that moment. or that experience or that time in your life where you potentially found yourself in a dark night of the soul. There was a catalytic something that went on for you. And in my opinion, this is actually the invitation into our purpose, or, you know, Joseph Campbell would talk about, you know, being invited onto the journey, onto the hero's journey. And I would love to hear about, from that moment, tell us a little bit about the path that you've taken, because you have tried a bunch of different things before you got to where you're at. So tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, you know, living in LA, there have been many dark nights, so it's hard to choose just one. But I would say the dark night of the soul of my adulthood really started when I had been here in LA for about 5 months. And I actually had a very impactful first 4 months that I lived here. So I came out to Los Angeles to finish up 2 degrees. I got a BFA in acting and a BA in communication. I needed 3 more credits to get those 2 pieces of paper. So I did an internship on The Ellen Show, and it was my intention to stay here after that and act. And the last week I was working on The Ellen Show, from a casting director workshop I did, which was like a one-night class, I got cast in my first professional role. So in my head, I was like, wow, this is amazing. And it was the week before Christmas. I'm like, I'm going to go home. I'm going to come back and I'm going to be a star. Like, clearly it's going to be so easy and life is just going to unfold for me. And unfortunately for my sweet little 22-year-old self, that was not the case. I came back. It was Cricketsville, USA. I had an agent. She actually left town without telling me. So like, that's how little communication I had with her and how little she was sending me out on auditions. It was like I was going to these weird auditions where I didn't know if I was like getting punked. I don't know if you remember that show with Ashton Kutcher, but it was like really weird, seedy situations. I was finding them online on like Craigslist in this magazine, Backstage magazine. So acting was not going well for me. And I had put all of my worth and all of my effort and all of my soul into this one thing that I thought, if I don't get this, I will die. And it was in that moment that I realized, like, I am way too attached to this thing. Like, I actually love this thing more than I love myself. And it's become an abusive relationship for me. And it was through that deep pain of losing what I thought I needed to make me whole that I discovered music, and music really healed my heart. So I started doing all these gigs, and I didn't have this attachment to music that I had had to acting because it was brand new. I had never written a song before I turned 23 at that point. And within a year, I was doing all these gigs, played House of Blues, Viper Room, you know, the Hard Rock Cafe. And while I was driving to these gigs, I started listening to SiriusXM radio and becoming obsessed with what would become podcasting, but radio at the time. And I realized, like, wow, this really has the ability to heal people and make them feel less alone. And so the big thing I learned from that is sometimes, like, the dreams you find on the way to your dreams are even more powerful than your original intention. And it was the seed of beginning to realize that who you are is the best thing about you. It's not about what you do. It's not about your output. It's about who you are. But that was just the seed. It was like really in the past like 2-3 years that I finally have gotten that through deep, deep healing work. But that was the beginning of the journey.
Oh my goodness. I love the story and I want to go back to the story. However, I also have to like just touch on a bunch of human design things. So
tell me.
Number one, you are the incarnation cross of the cross of the Sphinx. The cross of the Sphinx is also going to be that energy that you feel like is MG energy, because it's all about pivoting. It's all about going in a new direction. And we talk about an incarnation cross as it was referred to in the original knowledge as the job description of your aura. So whenever people come into aura with you, they are looking to pivot. They are actually lost. They feel lost, like you felt lost. They feel lost. And you're the one that's going to somehow pivot them. Like, there's nothing you have to do. Like, it will all unfold as it's meant to unfold. But it's fascinating just to hear that you are, you know, taking these different paths. And the big thing about the Sphinx is that for you, when you feel lost, that's actually a really pivotal moment. When you feel almost empty, like, I don't know, there's nothing, there's a void, that means that right around the corner, your new direction is coming. So much of that is already there. And I love that you were talking about music as well, and communication, because music, from a human design perspective, sits in the gate one, and you have it in your design sun, which is also called your radiance. So the way you stay well and vital and shine in the world is through using your singing voice. So that is so cool, right?
That makes me so happy. Yeah, and it makes sense because I actually do start getting sick when I'm not singing or writing. It literally is tied to my health. So that makes a lot of sense.
I was just looking at you on Insta as well, and you're singing Ave Maria. Oh my God, that was amazing. You have the most incredible voice.
Thank you, Emma. Yeah, that's a special one. Love Mother Mary. Great woman.
So, so freaking beautiful, right? Okay, so I have to connect one other dot, and then I'm going to talk a little bit more about the journey. So your personality sun is in the gate 13, which is all about the listening. And it's this journey of being able to actually listen to what is being said. Now, that means the self, others, and the universe. Like, it's this real gift to be able to receive. And, you know, you talked about communication. Like, no wonder communication is such a big deal for you, because it's here, it's your life's work. You know, this listening piece is your life's work. So what you hear, you take in and you go, well, wow, those pieces don't work for society anymore, but these pieces do. So this is the thing, like, this is the new direction. This is the thing that I want to go on and continue to share. Does that resonate with you?
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, I do think that listening is one of my greatest skills, and it's interesting to look at it from that higher level perspective. So I need to integrate that more, I think.
I love it. So you have your dark night of the soul. You don't become the absolute superstar that you wanted to become overnight. I mean,
no.
I feel like just about everyone on the planet's going to have had that experience these days. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, poor baby.
Yeah, exactly, right? We've all been told it happens overnight. I thought it happened overnight. It took me like 20 years or 15 years. Anywho, but how do you get to, okay, you're starting to sing, you're starting to use this music piece, and now, like, you're helping people like Brené Brown create a podcast. So how do you get from there to this part, this next part, where you've not only become the expert for yourself, but you're now becoming, you know, that expert that the experts are calling on?
So it really was by just following my nose and following my, more so than my nose, my heart. And it came from raw passion, really. So I was telling you about when I would be driving to these gigs, I would listen to Sirius XM, and I literally started saying, Emma, I'm going to work at Sirius XM someday. I'm going to work at Sirius XM someday. I knew no one in radio. The only radio experience I had had was years prior when I DJed in college. So I had no reason to think I would work at Sirius XM someday, right? But then I end up getting this gig as a host at a company called AfterBuzz TV. And there was a seminar one day for all the hosts. And I went up, and it wasn't a full-time gig. It was like a part-time thing that I would do like once or twice a week. There was a seminar for all the hosts. I went up to the founder of the company one day and I told him, I had heard him on Sirius XM and I was obsessed with radio. It was my passion. It was what I wanted to do with hosting. And he looked at me and he was like, I might have an opportunity for you. He yelled his email address at me as he was walking out. So I was like jotting it down in my notes app at the time. And he emailed me and told me that his now wife, Maria Menounos, was going to be starting up a Sirius XM show. And he thought I might be a great person to bring on to help with it. And so one night I don't hear from him again for a while. And one night I randomly get a call from him and he's like, you need to get over here now. The vice president of female content at Sirius XM is here and I want you to come meet her. And I find out, I go there and I meet her and I find out she's the woman who produced all the shows that I was obsessed with that made me fall in love with radio. So she had produced a show, Cocktails with Patrick, Wake Up with Taylor, the Dr. Jen show, all the shows that made me feel less alone and gave me like an audio home. So I'm like, oh my gosh, you're my radio Jesus. This is amazing. So we spent the night like getting to know each other. She was telling me about what Maria's show was going to be. And then I went home and I like literally wrote up 100 ideas for what Maria's podcast would be and emailed them to her on Kevin, the guy who owned the company's advice. And she ended up creating a position for me at SiriusXM to be an associate producer and on-air personality on Maria's show. And that's what started my career. And then I ended up moving over with that woman, her name is Serena, to Cadence 13, which is where I started producing all these other shows. So that was what started the journey. And then honestly, like one thing led to another, and it, my whole career was built out of raw passion and hard work.
So I freaking love this because there are so many projectors listening. I'm always banging on about this whole like, projectors are not here to sit around on their hands, people. They are not, you know, and I'm always referring to Taylor Swift. Like, you don't see her sitting around on her hands, do you? But your story is so beautiful because it demonstrates for all the projectors out there what we're talking about. You were obsessed with radio. What did you do? You followed your obsession. Like, I love it. I love it. I love it. You went and spoke to someone. Sure. I'm sure there's plenty of projectors out there going, yeah, well, she didn't have an invitation, but you didn't need an invitation because you weren't going to give him anything. You were just telling him how much you loved the thing and you'd love to do this and da, da, da. Again, just sharing your passion, sharing the thing you're obsessed about. And then without any like expectation, without any attachment or need, then these invitations just start coming and, you know, turning up for you and giving you these things to just follow. And I think that it's such a beautiful story of like the power that lies in a projector, that no, you aren't the people who are sitting around with no energy and you're just like waiting for people to come and see you. That is not true.
Right. Which is why I think when I told you, because you came on my podcast and I was like, when I first found out I was a projector, am I allowed to swear on here or no?
Yes, you are. You go for it.
When I first found out I was a projector, my friend told me and I said, this is bullshit. I said, because it was presented to me in that way that I'm just going to sit on my hands and wait here and just hope that somebody gives me an opportunity. But I really look at it more like, it could be an energetic opportunity. It could be like just an opportunity to share with someone. I don't look at like networking like I think a lot of people do, specifically people here where it's like, what can you do for me? I really look at it like, how can I get to know someone, tell them what I'm passionate about and find out what they're passionate about? And maybe if we form a connection at some point, we could work together, but only maybe. I'd rather know you as a human.
And that's the thing. Like, I think this is the really big thing that a lot of projectors miss is that you don't have attachment to getting something out of it or being seen or getting the invitation. And one of the superpowers of projectors that I see over and over again, if you feel like you really want invitations and you're not getting them, then ask questions. Because once a projector that's obsessed with something starts asking questions, they're not even aware of it, but they're demonstrating their wisdom and their knowledge because they're asking freaking great questions that other people aren't asking, you know? So it's like, let go of that need and that like that need to be validated, that need to be seen, and just follow the passion, the obsession, and ask really great questions. And then the invitations just show up.
Right. And it is hard because there is, I can honestly say, a hunger in me to be seen. But the big win for me and what I've had to continually try to learn to do is to hold up the mirror for myself. Because that's why I was so miserable this first year I was out in Los Angeles, was because I was desperately looking for worth wherever I could find it, except inside of myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is, I think, the most important thing for anyone. Like, doesn't matter what human design you have, we all need to be really learning to love, trust, and accept ourselves. This is actually the power that we have inside of us to change everything. So what would you say to those projectors out there and to all those people out there listening? Like, how do you go from, especially in LA, where everything is about who you know and how you look and all this pressure, like where, how do you go from, okay, I need to be validated, I need to know from others that I'm worthy, to actually, it's in me?
Well, for me, it's been a big journey. So I can't like give one tip to like flip the switch, but I would definitely say doing actual healing work versus just being like, I need to say a few mantras and then I'll be fine. Like, that's nice. But unless you're actually going inside yourself and healing at the source, it's going to come right back. And it's going to come back in a bigger way to make sure you actually learn the lesson. So for me, it really looked like getting into therapy that wasn't just talk therapy. It actually had a somatic healing component to it. So healing the trauma in the body, doing energy work. That's something that has also been super helpful for me. I've worked with this amazing coach named Victoria Song, and she's incredible. She works with huge executives and people who do startups, and she coaches them, but not like, here's 10 tips you need to know about business. She coaches them from the point of view of like, where are you afraid to be seen? What happened to you when you were 5 that gave you a message about being too big? And I did a body healing class with her that changed my whole life and really got me into connection with myself and like how much I was fighting even my own body. So the short answer is start noticing where you feel the most defensive, where you feel the most unworthy, where you feel the most unseen, and start asking like why and where does that come from? And then as you notice healing modalities out in the world that people talk about, start researching them and see like, does that resonate with me? Do I like that? Does that feel like it could be helpful? And then just start trying different things, especially like you said, if you've got a 3 line, like we're meant to try. So get out there and start trying. Like I tried probably 4 therapists before I found the one that I liked and that resonated with me and that used more than just talk therapy and that got underneath the problem. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say start really interrogating where you feel worse in your life. Start asking why, and then start looking up different healing modalities and see what connects with you.
Yeah, I love that. What would have been, as you're going through your healing journey, and as you're starting to really uncover that shadow aspect, you know, potentially the trauma, I'm always curious, like the surprises, like when we have those moments of like, whoa, I did not see that coming. Or, you know, like that, those moments that we have these big breakthroughs, surprises that completely transform us and, you know, get us to that next level of healing. What were the surprises that kind of got you along the way?
Oh my gosh. Well, one I will definitely say was, back in 2016, I was going through another dark night. Yeah. And I remember walking down the street and I was talking to my mom actually on the phone. It was a really dark time. And I said to her, oh my God, you're a person. I think that's probably obvious to a lot of people. But for me at that point, I think I was 26 or 27. I had never considered that my mom was anything other than her relationship to me. So it was always looking at it through an egocentric lens versus you were my mom and you were a person going through your own hardships while you were trying to raise me. That's so hard. So that was a big one. And it really allowed me to have compassion for my mom. My mom's one of my favorite people in the world, but you know, there's times when we can be angry at our parents for certain ways we feel like they missed us or lessons that they didn't teach us. And that was a big turning point when I started to have compassion for my mom and compassion for all the people in our family line that didn't know and passed things down to me. And then I ingested them to start to have some forgiveness for them.
Yeah.
For myself, a big one recently was through that body class with Victoria Song. I realized how many rooms I've allowed myself to be in with somebody who mistreated me. And it was really by like going back to my inner child and seeing the times when like there were adults in the room who mistreated me and then nobody stood up for me in that room. So I kind of internalized the message that it's okay if somebody's treating me poorly because like we just need to stay silent about it and protect that person. But what I realized through that class and through healing my inner child was like, even if there's no one in the room who ever stands up for me, there can always be one person and it can be me. And if being in relationship with somebody else, no matter the relationship, if it's romantic, if it's friendship, if it's work, if being in relationship with that person requires me to abandon myself, I can't be in proximity to them. If loving somebody else requires me to stop loving myself, that is not a place for me. So those two probably would be the biggest realizations.
Oh my God, I love them both. And I feel like there is so many people out there listening going, oh my God, I resonate. You know, first I want to respond to that moment of, oh my God, mom, you're a person. Yeah. I think so many people on their healing journey, this is one of the biggest wake-up calls, you know, like where you come to this realization that, oh God, it's not all about me. You know, like, it's really not all about me. And when we start to see our parents and our family members so differently. And the yeah. thing that's really fascinating is it's also just this, you know, external projection of what's going on inside of us. You know, it's that moment when we start to realize that, wow, we've just been focused on ourselves this whole time, yet we're not seeing what's underneath there. We're not seeing what other relationships are there. We're not seeing all of these other things because we can't see it in our mum, so we can't see it in ourselves. And I think that that's such a beautiful transition. There's so many people who are going through this, you know, healing and growth journey is when you start to get to that point where you hear these things or you experience these things with your parents and you're like, wow, that would have sucked, instead of taking it personally. Or I was just sharing on my mastermind yesterday how I found out about 3 years before my mother passed, she passed last year, that she had two ex-husbands that no one knew about, you know, like these two other marriages. And, you know, me in my 20s would have been like, Mom, how do you didn't do this? Whereas for me, when I found out, I was kind of like, wow, you poor thing. You've been carrying that around for all of these years. So it's that demonstration of, that's also how I treat myself, because now I can have compassion right. for myself. I have compassion for my mother. So I think it's such a beautiful realization and story for everyone to listen, to hear. Do you want to respond to anything there?
No, I think the thing that I thought of when you said that is you treat other people the way you treat yourself. And that has been a big realization too, because I've unfortunately like worked with some pretty abusive people in my lifetime. And I would always think that I'm like, wow, they talk to themselves that way. That is so sad. That's yeah. so hard.
And that's the truth, right? When you start to have that compassion of like, wow, you know, people show you who they are, you know, that's who they are in their head and in the real world. And yeah, to have that compassion piece. The other thing that I just want to kind of come back to and highlight that I think is so important is this, how so many of us, especially women, abandon ourselves in relationships where we're just trying to do the right thing or the good thing or take care of someone, you know. And yes, there's that next level of actually receiving awful abuse, all sorts of abuse, and still abandoning ourselves. You know, I had this experience where there was something specific that my husband did that triggered me every time he did it. And I'd asked him not to do it, but he still kept on doing it. So in the end, I was like, well, you know what? I'll just like work on my trigger. I'll heal it. Da, da, da. So I did all that. And then this particular thing didn't heal me anymore. Didn't trigger me anymore. But then I had this massive realization as we're, you know, going through our separation. I was like, oh, shit, I've completely abandoned myself, because, you know, I wanted to take the in-the-moment pain away because he wasn't listening to me, because he was, because the fact that that thing made me uncomfortable, it wasn't important enough for him to stop doing it. So I went and changed myself, but I completely abandoned myself in that whole process. And here's me thinking I'm doing it, you know, like, I'm just coming more from love than fear. And so I think that it's such an important topic where, especially as women, we're not even realizing the places that we're abandoning ourselves.
100%. It happens all the time. And I think it's hard too, because like women haven't had power in relationships for that long. Like for a long time, that was an adaptive tool, because our only financial means to stay alive was to be married or to come from a wealthy family, or for many people, both. So it's like we have to shed like the karma almost of past generations of women so we can really step into the current timeline we're in and the power we currently have and update our software.
Yeah, so beautifully said. So beautifully said. So let's talk about some of the incredible women that you've worked with, that you've spoken to. Yeah, well, let's talk about some of the things that, or maybe even just the women, and they don't have to be names that we know, but who are the people that have inspired you to keep going on your path, you know, to keep with this obsession with communication and podcasting? Like, who are the people that have inspired you, and how did they do it to get you where you are today?
Well, to go back to my mom, honestly, my mom and my family really are my biggest inspiration. She has been the person that when I was on the ground crying, asking God, do you even love me? Why would you put this dream in my heart if you didn't want me to get it? She was the one that really said to me, Lauren, it would break my heart if you didn't keep going toward your dream. I know you can do it. You have to keep going. You can do this. And she listens to every single podcast. She's listened to every song, of course, that I've put out. She's been to every show that she could come to. Like, she lives in Michigan still, and I live in Los Angeles, so we live far away. And, you know, my family is also just like a great source of inspiration. I, in the past year, was able to go to Sicily, which is where I'm from originally, and where my family's from. I was born in Michigan, but I'm second generation Italian, and finally meet some of my cousins there and see like, oh my God, like I felt like a freak my whole life, but I'm actually just Sicilian. Like these are the people that I'm like, because I'm so over the top and like always talking with my hands and like hugging and kissing and like warm. And so I was very inspired by all my cousins I met over there. As far as people I've like worked with and interviewed, I mean, honestly, all of them for different reasons. I mean, you mentioned Brené. I no longer produce her podcast because she went to a different company, but I'm obsessed with her. And like, she is so generous of spirit, so kind. So she sees everybody. Maria Shriver, like, sees everybody in the room, really wants to uplift other people's voices. Glennon is so brilliant at, you know, forming community and being herself wherever she goes. Like who she is when the microphone turns off is the exact same person as when the microphone turns off. Same for everybody, but like it's just amazing. Yeah, it's amazing how authentic all of these people are and like what it's taught me about building from a place of authenticity and really just like following the vision versus like, how do I get a million followers? It's yeah. Like, what can happen for you when you actually just follow your heart and like speak your truth is like people can't resist that. And you will find your people if you just keep going. So I guess that it was a long-winded answer, but I think what I've been most inspired by is authenticity and love is the through line.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love it. And I just have to geek out momentarily on your design because being across of the Sphinx means that all four gates in your human design are in what we call the G center. And that's where like love, unconditional love, higher self sits. So, it's fascinating just to hear you constantly talk in this way because that's kind of really one of your primary driving forces. The other thing that's really fascinating is that in your core wound that then becomes your core talent, you have this this gate 25. And the gate 25 is the love of the spirit. And in its shadow, it's all about constriction. And in that constriction, you disconnect from source effectively. And then when you step into it, you know, like you keep using the words, like I just follow my heart and I love my family and I'm connected to God. And like that is that core talent of yours. And I think so many times we're looking for our purpose in the world in our doing, you know, in the things that we can get paid for. But really our core talents are so much deeper. And one of the big gifts that you give to the world is you help people step up to spirit, like really out of that constriction and into this more abundant connection to source. Does that resonate with you?
Totally, because I actually don't know what I do. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Like, I know that's a weird thing to say when people are like, what does a producer do? I'm like, whatever it takes to get the show done. But truly what I feel I do is just hold a mirror up for people. I feel like I create a safe space where they can see themselves and be themselves. Yeah. And it's always my goal to help somebody bring out their most authentic voice. And I really do think like I do it through love. Yeah. So it resonates with that, but I also, that's the way I host my podcast, Unleash Your Inner Creative. That's the way I write my music. That's the way I try to be in relationships. Like I just try to leave people a little better than I found them if I can.
Oh, I love that. And you know, the actual gift in the Gene Keys of the 25 is called acceptance. It's all about, you know, like loving yourself as you are in this moment. Loving others as they are in this moment and the universe. Like it's just beautiful. So I feel like this authenticity piece is a really big driver for so many people. And often I feel like it's a really, I mean, I use the word all the time, but I also feel like it's super overused. On this journey, and I always refer back to journey because we don't just flip a switch and go, okay, now I'm authentic. It just doesn't work that way. We have to slowly, you know, step by step, choose to let go of the old and trust the new. So tell us a little bit about, if you were to give the listeners three things that they could do to more embody their own authenticity, what would those three things be?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is what I tell people when I'm trying to help them get what I call a creative thesis statement, which is basically just like another word for purpose. But I think it's a good way to zone into your authenticity. So, and I do this too. It's like the same thing when I'm trying to get somebody to figure out what their podcast topic is. So I believe the topic you're meant to speak on, like what you're most passionate about, is the midway point between your greatest pain in life, your greatest suffering in life, and your greatest joy. So I would start by asking yourself that question and see what you come up with. And then before you enter any situation, whether it's a job opportunity, a friendship, a relationship, asking yourself, does it pass through that filter? Like, does it pass through the thesis statement of your life? And if not, then it's probably not for you because you can't be authentic there. Another thing I did when I was dating before I found my boyfriend was, so I would like, this might be like a splenic thing, you could tell me, but I would really feel into my body when I was with somebody on a date and I would be like, how much percentage Lauren am I right now? And then I would just notice it. So with my boyfriend, I was like 120%. I was like, I don't know. I'm a little scared with how much I am myself. I'm saying weird things like that I've never like, I never even said in my own head and I can't resist saying it to him. But then there was a guy that I dated before him. I was like, oh, I feel about 60%. So I knew he wasn't going to be a long term. He was just like, you know, a few fun dates. So I think that's a good way to know in any given situation or with any given person, how much like really get quiet, like kind of get out of your head and try to get into your body and ask what percentage of Lauren, what percentage of Emma, insert your name, am I right now? And then let's see, a third one, honestly, meditating. I know it's probably overdone, but like it doesn't have to be meditating, but some sort of practice where you breathe and remember you have a body. And I know it sounds silly, and I did not come up with this. This is like an ancient practice. I heard Thich Nhat Hanh talk about it because he was asked, how can we start to love ourselves? And he said, breathe and remember you have a body. The body is the seat of the soul. And so I think so much of the time when we're trapped in our head, it's impossible to get into the authenticity and to the knowledge that lives in the rest of our body and our being. So just, I like to picture like taking a breath in and picture the breath coming in through my head, going down through my throat, through my chest, into my stomach, through my legs, and then through my feet and like pulling me into the earth so that I remember I'm both like, I picture that the breath coming in through the heavens and then going down through the earth. So I remember I'm like a spiritual being, but I'm here right now.
Mm. Oh my God. I love that so much. All of it. Excuse me. As I choke. So yeah, I love that. And I think that is so important. I was just having a conversation with a friend yesterday about this, like what is with it with women and our, the way we speak to our bodies, you know, these are our vehicles. These are the things that we are actually doing life with. Like here we are. And I really want to ask you about how you manifested your dream boyfriend. Cause I'm always curious about those things. But at the end of the day, our body is our primary relationship. Like this is our primary relationship. Like this is the one we want to be really deeply in love with. And yes, it's one that we actually do have sovereignty over, you know, like our intimate relationship, we don't, like we just have to be ourselves and just let this other person be that version of themselves and hope that they're crazy and you're crazy works together, you know? So I really think that this is a topic for women that is, it's really close to my heart. My mum was It's weird. My family was the most functional, dysfunctional family. My mom was definitely borderline anorexic, although never, you know, never diagnosed. And it was never like a I'm going to say significant issue, but it was the way that she got attention and the things that she could control, like the food she didn't eat. And my dad was a, you know, very functional, undiagnosed alcoholic. So there was lots of dysfunction, but yet had a very functional upbringing, which was weird. But I suppose this is the thing. Like I want myself even still, I just turned 49 and I've done so much work on loving my body. And I'm just at this point now in my life where I'm like, well, I don't have a bad word to say anymore. I'm like, stuff it. Like it's, I love you. We've got this far. We're doing a good job. Let's keep going. But yeah, I feel like body image is a really big issue that we are yet to really integrate on a mass, you know, at a mass level.
Yeah, it's huge. And it's, you know, for us, it's going to be ongoing because we were fed so many different stories about our bodies, not only from our family and the people immediately around us, but through the media and about what it means to be a woman and what it means to be a good woman. And yeah, I mean, I struggled with eating disorders growing up too, which was a big part of this like healing that I've done in the past year with actually finally getting into relationship with my body versus just like trying to will it to do whatever I wanted it to do. But yeah, I think that's the first step is realizing it is a relationship. And I think a big realization for me was when I realized no matter how skinny I was never happy. So like even when my body did what I claimed I wanted it to do, I still didn't think it was doing the right thing. So if I am in relationship with it, if I was treating somebody that way, no matter what they did, no matter how they tried, I still told them they weren't good enough, eventually they were probably just going to give up on me. Yeah. And so it's like for me, it's actually coming back into relationship with my body and realizing I'm really sorry for what I put you through. I've actually apologized to my body and like,
oh my God.
I sometimes like hold my, I know this sounds far out for some of you listening,
it's definitely not for my
but
listeners.
I will hold myself sometimes and be like, you're doing a really good job. Like I'll hold my legs and I'll be like, thank you so much. You work so hard. You're so good at what you do. Thank you. Yeah.
That is
and
so
it's,
beautiful.
It's little things every day. And, yeah, and actually starting to form a relationship versus being a dictator to your body.
Yeah. Oh
listening to it because it has wisdom for you.
Oh, my God, so much wisdom. You know, in human design, we talk a lot about the wisdom that lies within our body and the biofeedback that we're getting, you know, through our design. I mean, your spleen is literally guiding you on the best path for you. And, yeah, and I love the hugging thing. I hug my body all the time. I actually went to this tea ceremony probably about 3 weeks ago, and I am sitting in, and usually I sit in these things and it's more about holding space for others. I love doing them, but I don't usually have the big breakthrough. All of a sudden I'm sobbing, like sobbing, and it's a silent thing. So everyone's quiet, which also I was very grateful for. So no one kind of came to my rescue. And I'm just crying and crying and crying because I just had that moment of like, I am Mother Nature. My body is Gaia, this thing that I put on this pedestal day in, day out. And it's me. It's in me. It's this body. And I just had this huge release and forgiveness for exactly what you're talking about, like all the years that I've just been on its case, yet my body has done so well with everything that I've put it through. So, yeah, I love that. I think that's a practice we could all, you know, imperfectly add to the list of practices to make ourselves a better human.
Yeah, just to be in communication with it. And, like, literally, you can ask it what it needs. You can be like, what do you want to eat today, you know?
Yeah.
Follow that.
So tell me, how did you create – how did you manifest this – incredible boyfriend of yours.
Okay, so it's more weird stuff, which I know
we
you love.
Yeah, good.
So
buckling up.
I was actually producing a podcast with this woman. Her name is Dr. Edith Eger, and she's incredible. She's a Holocaust survivor and has dedicated her life to psychology. And a big question that she asked the hosts of the show was, would you want to marry yourself? And this was in 2021. I was really, again, struggling. Theme.
Yeah, hello. Welcome to my life.
Struggling at the time. And when she said that, I was like, oh shit. No, I would not. I would not want to marry me. Not right now. And so I thought, okay, what would I need to do in order to actually be in a relationship with myself for the rest of my life, which I'm going to be no matter what. So I wrote down a list of all the qualities that I wanted in a partner, and I started to embody them in myself. And I would also start to do little acts of service for myself. So one thing I knew I definitely wanted was to have a partner who would bring me coffee in bed someday. So I would make myself coffee and bring it to bed and have coffee in bed. One thing I definitely knew I would want was to have a partner who held me. I can get really emotional, as you pointed out when you came on my podcast, and like have really low lows. So to like hold space for me when I'm in those low lows, because I just need to move through it and then I feel better. So when I was in a low low, I literally held myself, or and I'm holding myself around my neck, like I hugged my own body and told my and patted myself on the back. And I said, it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. You're going to get through this. And so I would just start doing little acts of service like that. I was starting to embody like being strong, protecting myself, you know, being financially stable, all these things that I was saying that I wanted in a partner. And it was wild when I met Timmy, my boyfriend. We became friends over 4 months, first of all. Like it was not like a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am moment. Like we actually got to know each other. And he asked me out on a date. He had been listening to me talking about all these bad dates I've been going out on. He actually did the exact opposite. He brought me to a beautiful dinner place. He opened the door for me. He brought me flowers. He like brought me a little gift. And as we got into our relationship, some of those things that I was doing for myself started happening from him to me unprompted. So wow. He would bring me coffee in bed. One time I was having a complete emotional breakdown. He literally held me in the exact same way I held myself and said, it's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. It's going to be okay. And so that, and honestly, getting off the apps for me was also huge. I like right before I met him, I just was like, you know, I have nothing against the apps. I tried with the apps. I think they're great for some people. I have several friends who are married from them, but it didn't work for me. And maybe that has something to do with human design, but I couldn't get a read for someone's energy. And I'd end up on these dates with people and be like, huh? And then the other thing is I kept saying, I really want to meet somebody through my friends, and nobody wanted to introduce me to anyone. I don't think anyone wants a responsibility, but we did actually meet through friends, through two of my best friends from childhood. And one of them was the first boy that I ever fell in love with. He turned out to be gay, but it was kind of like a full circle moment because that was unrequited love. And like, then he introduced me to the love of my life, which was like, I don't know. It almost felt like, you know, in Twilight, did you ever read those books or see the movie?
Yeah.
You know, when what's his name? Like Jacob thought he was in love with Bella, but he was actually in love with her future child. Like I almost felt like it was that situation where it was like, I thought I was in love with Johnny, but I think I was just in love with him bringing me to Tim.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love it. I've got goosebumps from head to toe. That's yeah. So cool. And I love that you, like the things that you were giving to yourself, you actually saw, you know, made manifest. And at the end of the day, we live in a quantum reality. As within, so without. So we are always creating, like we're always creating. And I think so often, and I know for me, you know, that line three, we can sometimes be that little, you know, little bit of a martyr, you know, probably not so much now. We've done a lot of the work, but that like, oh, but why do I have to? Or why is it happening to me? And it's about letting go of that part of you that's just scared and like giving all of this a shot, because far out. That is cool. I love that question. What was her name?
Dr. Edith Eger.
Amazing.
And I want to tell you one other thing I did, because it might be helpful for you or any of your listeners who are on this like potential search for love. I actually said a prayer like a week before I met, or not before I met him, but before Tim asked me out. And I said, God, if you want me, to be single, that is totally fine. But just give me peace in my heart about it and let me not be worried about it and just like move on and have peace. But if you want me to be with someone, drop him in front of my face and don't let me be able to deny it, because if I can, I will. So I need you to drop him in front of my face and make it undeniable. And that's exactly what happened 1 week later.
Oh my God, I love it. And that, you know, that's like manifestation 101. Like, be super clear on what you want. Like, be super clear. It's actually how I ended up with, you know, this whole big, huge human design business, because I said to the universe, you need to be so clear of what this thing is. Like, you need to smack me in the face with it. And it literally was the only thing people wanted to talk to me about within a 48-hour period of time. And no one was talking about it back then. So it was just weird. I'm like, okay, I get you.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Oh, if one final thing. I tied up a loose end I had. There was a guy that I was kind of still holding a flame for. Again, literally a week before Tim asked me out. And I just told him like, hey, you hurt me and I just need you to know that. And now we can move on. And tying up that loose end that was like kind of still upsetting me that he didn't know how much he hurt me, I think created the space for Timmy to come in.
Yeah. And that kind of goes back to that healing journey piece and the thing that we're all on. You know, if we want to call in something in our life, then you know, we need to be the thing we want to call in, you know, like I just had Dr. Nicole LaPera on the podcast as well. And like her brilliant book, How to Be the Love You Want, you know, that is so, so important. And I feel like that's the same with business, you know, in business, like you have to be the entrepreneur before you're the entrepreneur, or you've got to be the podcast host. Like, a lot of the times I think there's all these people that are starting podcasts and they're doing the thing, but they're not taking it. They're not trying anything. They're not taking any advice and then they just quit. So let's say, because a lot of my HDX community have podcasts or are starting their podcasts, what would be, and then I will let you go because I know we're getting really close to time. What would be three things they need to know about podcasting and three things they need to do when it comes to having a successful podcast?
Okay. No and do. First of all, I want to say one thing. I actually am going to be starting a podcasting course, date TBD, but if you're interested in potentially joining, feel free to reach out to me, lauren.lograsso@gmail.com, and I will keep you in the loop. Amazing. But three things to know and three things to do. Okay. Number one, I would say to know, like, know what you like when it comes to podcasts. I cannot tell you how many people reach out to me and be like, tell me about how you podcast. And they've never even listened to a podcast. Or if they have, they haven't found one they like. So before you get into it, first of all, I want you to be obsessed with the medium. And second of all, I want you to know what resonates with you when it comes to it. Like, so something you can start doing is like, if you listen to this one, try to think about what drew you into Emma. What keeps you coming back week after week? What you like about her? Because something else to know is that people come back week after week, not because of the guest, because of the host and because of the information. Because something that I've seen time and time again on my show and the shows that I produce is it's not about the guest. It's about the information they're providing. Because you, like, I've had like huge people on my show did okay. Smaller people who had incredible information skyrocketed the episode. So, and that's across the board. Another thing is to like really know what is your unique take on the thing that you're talking about. I don't believe in when people try to scare you out of like a crowded space, quote unquote, because new things pop up all the time in old industries that end up going through the roof. But it's about finding your unique take. So like for Emma, your take on human design is different than anyone's I've ever heard. You have a very optimistic, heart-centered take on it that really takes the whole person into account versus like old conditioning and old programming. So that's a very different take. And the way you interview people, like something I've noticed that's so brilliant because I listened to Nicole's interview, I listened to mine, is when you're interviewing someone, you also bring their design up again and again. So you're getting back to kind of like the promise of what the podcast is. So making sure that you know what your unique take is on something and that you keep delivering on that promise week after week. You're going to get a thesis statement for your podcast, kind of like what I talked about earlier for your life thesis statement or your creative thesis statement. Every episode should go through that thesis statement. For, I think I gave three things, but if I didn't, feel free to reach out to me and we can chat more.
You nailed it. That is so good. And people, I hope you've got your freaking pen and paper out because there's so many notes to be taking.
Oh, and then there's one other thing. So something that my radio coach taught me is engage the power of you. So podcasting, radio, it's the most like intimate thing in the world. Like you're literally in somebody's ears. If you're doing it well, the person listening feels like a second guest or a co-host in the room with you. So really personalize the experience. Talk to one person. Engage the power of you when you're talking to someone. And I still say like you guys, you all, everybody sometimes, but it's really good to use the word you versus, hey, what's everybody thinking about this? It's so much more personal when you just take it down to one person because that's really what it is. It's a person-to-person relationship. As far as what you should do, get great equipment. Great equipment doesn't cost that much money. There's an amazing microphone. It's called the Audio Technica, and I'm not getting paid by them. I just think they're so great. It's a USB mic. It costs like $70. It plugs right into your computer. It's great. Do a local recording for sure. So either use Riverside, Zencastr, or you can do a local recording via QuickTime on your computer if you're doing remote podcasts. And then I would also say, please have an outline, especially when you're starting out. People think it's just like getting in front of a mic and just posting up and chatting. So much more thought process has to go into this if you're going to do it well, especially in the beginning. As you've gotten into like 100, 200, 300 episodes, maybe you're going to do less prep. I definitely do less prep now than I did before. But you really want to make sure that you are setting yourself up. So you're not reading a script, but you at least know what you're trying to hit so that you're giving your listeners the experience they want to have and you're not just kind of going on and on about any subject that comes to your mind.
Mm. Oh my goodness. I feel like you all just got a mini masterclass there. So thank you. That was epic, Lauren.
Aw, Emma, I love you. I think you're just such a beautiful, beautiful soul and you make people feel so at home and at ease. And you really make people, myself included, feel able to drop into their creativity and like calm the nervous system. Getting on the call with you, it just like turns the nervous system down a notch and takes it down to a place where you can actually be yourself. So thank you.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I'm just going to have to human design geek out just a little bit. So Please. My life's work, my personality sun is in this gate 37 and the energy is friendship. And one thing that I would not have even noticed without human design is that when people are with me, they feel like they're with an old friend, someone that they've known for a really long time. They feel safe. They feel, you know, they can trust me. And of course, that's also who I've become over the years. But it's this, you know, this is why I love human design so much. And I don't like rules and structure and all of those things. Like I like to break them all. But it's given me permission to go, you know what? That's one of my all-time superpowers. And even those moments where I want to run away from it, like, nope, this is something you're really good at. So thank you so much. I really appreciate you sharing that.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for being open to it. And most importantly, thank you for being who you are. It's really, really special. It's the best thing about you.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. And please, people, thank you for being with us. Lauren, where can my beautiful friend find you?
So you can find me at Lauren LaGrasso on all social media. You can listen to my podcast, which Emma was on and just so brilliant on, Unleash Your Inner Creative, wherever you get your podcasts. You can hear my music on Spotify, Apple Music, and anywhere else you get your music, just under the name Lauren LaGrasso. And yeah, definitely reach out to me if you're interested in taking that podcasting course. It's going to be coming out shortly, and I would be honored to be able to be your guide and help you find your authentic voice.
Amazing. Well, we might need to invite you in to be potentially one of our teachers in HDX next year. Would you be potentially up for something like that? We have teachers in our HDX community that come in and do a 6-week program of teaching. It's a paid gig, you know, you don't do it just for the love of it. It's a paid gig. So maybe next year you could help all of my community with their podcast.
I would be honored. Yeah, anything. I'd love to collaborate with you in any way.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. I've had just the best time. And for you listening, I trust that you got what you needed from today's episode. And I wasn't joking. Please go back, press pause, go back, get your piece of paper and your pen out, and please take imperfect action. Because when you take imperfect action towards your dreams, you know they are going to happen. Thanks, everyone. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Lauren. I'm already integrating all your tips, and I so look forward to having you on the next podcast. Bye for now. Thanks, everyone, for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast, or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.